Hebrews chapter 11. So this is a card from Mrs. Beverly, I think, Taylor, a counselor at Lonedale. Dear Bethel Baptist Church members and attenders, words cannot express how our school is grateful for all of the things that you have done for our back-to-school fair. So I wanted you to know that they had thanked us for that. We want to encourage you to continue to pray for the effects, if you will, of that day. Again, we need them more than they need us. Hebrews chapter 11. This is called the faith chapter. It's called the heroes of faith chapter. Also, we're going to start what I call a mini-series into this passage. And the passage starts with the definition of faith. The definition of faith is absolutely imperative that you and I understand to the point that we can apply it. Church, Brad has said this many, many times, and it's so true. Words matter. And if you don't understand the words, you are short-circuiting the ability to navigate this life. And I realize that we're moving away from dictionaries and all that. I get all that. But what we can't move away from is knowledge. We can't move away from understanding. We can't move away from wisdom. And so that's why I've got a Webster 1828 app on my phone. Because even though I may not carry around that thing anymore, I've got it in my phone. And I can look up any word. The young people here at this church used to say, Brother Ben, the reason I don't read God's word is because I don't understand the words. And I would look at them and say, do you understand a computer? Yeah. How did you understand the computer? Well, I just learned it. No, you didn't. You put effort into it. And church, everything that we really decide that we need and want, we put effort into it. And we need to put effort into understanding and knowing the words and the definitions of those words of the Word of God. And faith is right up there with the top three. Faith, hope, and love. We need to know what God knows about those words, and we need to apply those definitions. So I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, Hebrews chapter 11. This, in a lot of ways, is an introductory message to the series, but it is certainly a message to understanding faith. We're going to read the first seven verses for context. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 7. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is the definition. That is the biblical definition of faith. If you were to supernaturally stand before God right now and ask Him, God, please sum up what faith is, He would say, it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I can't speak for you, however, but I've known that verse for years upon years, and it is still a daily discovery of really what it means. Look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that means that he was taken up into heaven supernaturally, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. He disappeared, folks. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And here it is. But without faith, without this word that we're fixing to define, without this reality in our lives, it is impossible to please him. Now, church, I believe with all my heart that most of you, if not all of you, are here today, even if it's just a little bit, because you want to please God. That's why you're here. And I dare say for most of us, it's not a little part. It's the most of the part. We want to please God. That doesn't happen without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Folks, by the fact that you're here, you're exercising faith that you believe God can see you. And that God knows that you're in one of his houses of worship. That's faith. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that's good biblical fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Title, The Just Shall Live By Faith. The Just Shall Live By Faith. Two verses before chapter 11. If you'll look there in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, because we've already known it's impossible to please God without faith. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So in verse 38, you hear, the just shall live by faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. So that's Paul in the book of Romans writing to the believers, the church in Rome, the just shall live by faith. In Galatians, the book of Paul writing to the church at Galatia, now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. That's Galatians 3:11. Then in Hebrews 10:38, we've already read that. But then now, well, so, all right, Brother Ben, three times in the New Testament, Paul, per the leadership of the Holy Spirit, says the just shall live by faith. But is it an Old Testament value as well? Well, Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright in him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. I heard Brother Tom Smith yesterday at Brother Lawrence Davis's funeral say that if God says something one time, you ought to pay attention. But if he repeats it four and five times, you better live by it. The just shall live by faith. So we have it well established in the biblical record that the just shall live by faith. So it is supremely important to understand and know what this faith is. But before we go any further towards the definition, let's see what is the theme of Hebrews and why this practical teaching is happening. For church, I truly do believe, even though I'm fine with topical messages, I truly do believe that expositionally is how we ought to approach God's word. In other words, word for word, verse for verse, passage for passage, to understand the entire thought of God. And so we don't want to lift up chapters 11, 12, and 13 and ignore what was 1 through 10. And so I'm just going to sum it up. A very reliable source is R.C. Sproul, and this is what he says about the book of Hebrews in way of summary. No other book in the New Testament integrates the gospel, the good news, the salvation of men through Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross, with the Old Testament better than the book of Hebrews. The author of this epistle is relentless in his effort to reveal Christ, here it is, as greater. So chapters 1 through 10, Paul has been saying Jesus is greater than the prophets. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses and the Levitical priest. Excuse me. In fact, the author argues all of the ceremonies, sacrifices, and offices of the Old Testament foreshadow the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so to you and I, you may be thinking, well, duh. Of course Jesus is greater than all of these, but to get it into the cultural situation of what Paul is saying to these folks in Hebrews, it would be like Paul walking in here right now and every one of us being enlightened by the Spirit of God. We know that that's Paul, and of course I would acquiesce and say, Paul, please speak to us. I would sit down and Paul would say, listen, I've got a message for you today. Listen to me, church. Jesus is greater than Pastor Ben. Now everyone in here would say, yeah, amen. Especially the wife. Jesus is greater than Pastor Ty. Jesus is greater than Pastor Brad. Well, why would he say? Because we live with each other. And even though we're all well aware of our sinful side, we also are well aware that these men are striving, hopefully, prayerfully, to live for God. And many of you are, all of you, by the fact that you're here today, you're striving to follow us as we follow Jesus. That's biblical. And so these guys were doing the same thing. They were following the Old Testament way. They were following Moses. They were following all these things. But Paul is trying to make sure, and the Holy Spirit is trying to make sure, Jesus is the purpose. Jesus is the point. Jesus is the man. And Jesus is greater than those sacrificial foreshadowing. And church, remember, no animal's blood has ever satisfied God's, it'll come to me, wrath for sin. Those sacrifices were simply Christ types. They were important. All biblical symbols are important, but no animal's blood sacrificed for sin. It was to point to Jesus, and that's what Paul is saying. Jesus, it's great that you have followed this thing to the letter of the law, but it goes beyond the letter of the law. You need to have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. It needs to hurt you and I that our sin put him on the cross. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus, God, attached animal sacrifice in the Old Testament, because don't you think that those farmers and those children that raised those blemish-free animals, they were the best of the herd. They were fed the best. They were cared for the best. And then they had to slit their throat. Not to pay for sin, but to show what would someday have to happen. It hurt. And Paul is saying, Jesus was the one that hurt. Jesus is greater than all of these. So that's 1 through 10. The RC goes on and says, in light of so great a salvation, Hebrews encourages us to run the race before us in faithfulness and perseverance. And that's coming in chapter 12. That's a reference to the verse in chapter 12. I call Hebrews the Job of the New Testament. Job inspires us that God is enough because he brings a man back from the brink of financial, spiritual, physical, financial, emotional bankruptcy to health. In all those areas, Hebrews shows us that God is enough because he did all those things to himself. And he brought himself back for our sakes. Jesus is greater. That is the theme of Hebrews and the reason you and I can sleep at night. You ready, church? Jesus is greater than our sin. He's greater than our problems. He's greater than our illnesses. He's greater than our enemies. He's greater than our fears. He is all we truly have. And yes, he is all we truly need. So the just shall live by faith. Faith in Christ. So now we're back here at chapter 11, verse 1, faith defined. Faith rests on a foundation, and that foundation is Christ. It is very important to not have faith in your faith, but have faith in Christ. Now listen, y'all know we don't beat up denominations around here. We don't do that. But we do call out doctrines that are in error. And this idea that if I just have enough faith, with my faith I can take God's right arm and I can put it behind his back and I can make him do whatever I want him to do. That's heresy. It's dangerous. It's sinful. It's selfish. It's not true. You can't have so much faith to make God become your whipping boy. It doesn't work that way. Now, and I'm not accusing anyone in here of that. I'm just telling you that if you listen to enough stuff, you'll hear that sooner or later. And they might not, probably won't say it the way I just said it, but that's the same thing. Church, I'm telling you right now, that some good people, even within this congregation, are suffering because of God's will. Sometimes good people suffer for good reasons. And God's not punishing them, God doesn't hate them, and they're not having lack of faith. It's a trial they have to go through. And if they will have faith in God, they'll come through that trial a better person and in a better position to serve God for the glory of His name. So it's so important for us not to have faith in our faith. We need to have faith in Christ. And church, I realize there's a fine line there. But the key is the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite stories about faith, this is told to be a true story. I don't know if y'all know who Mr. Plymel is, but he is our, and I say our, they're a different denomination from the standpoint we're Baptist Missionary Association. They are Southern Baptist, but we're sister churches as far as I'm concerned. We're on the same team. Amen, church? He is the director of the Franklin County Southern Baptist. So someone like him, in an area of our nation, in that state, they were going through a drought, and it was killing the agricultural people. And a lot of those folks attended church. And so the superintendent, what they called him, called all the pastors and said, I want you to meet me on the campgrounds. We're going to pray for rain. So here they come. All the preachers come dressed, if you will, like me, or in suit and tie. But the superintendent came in a full-on rain suit and an umbrella. And they all looked at him, and he looked at them. Boys, we're praying for rain. Now, who out of that group was having faith? The superintendent. I'm told it rained before they got in their cars. God can do anything. Now, was that man having faith in his faith? No, he was having faith in Jesus. He had been led. You better go prepared, son, because when you ask me, I'm going to do it. Now, church, listen to me. Adrian Rogers says, you will always know that you're going to get an answer to prayer when you pray a prayer that originated from the throne room of God. When God says, pray it. You better believe it. It's going to happen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, it is not thy hold on Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not even thy faith in Christ that saves thee. Though that be the instrument, it is Christ's blood and merit that saves thee. Dr. J. Oswald Sanders says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. So, the definition. Well, it's been a lot of buildup, hadn't it? Here we go. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Substance is the Greek word hypostasis. Now, you guys know that I'm no Greek scholar, but I read after people that are. And I've learned to trust men like J. Vernon McGee. I've learned to trust men like John MacArthur and the such. The Greek word hypostasis, it is a scientific term that is the opposite of hypothesis. An hypothesis is a theory, it's an idea that hasn't yet been put to the test. Hypostasis is a scientific fact in chemistry. It's already been put to the test, and it's real. Faith is the substance, the factual, true substance of things hoped for. Y'all hoping for heaven? You hoping to throw these away someday? That's faith. That's faith. You haven't seen heaven. You don't have a clue. But you have a K-N-O-W, so faith, that it's there. Because God, this didn't used to be here either. But it came by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And this word tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. J. Vernon McGee tells about how he used to be in a chemistry class. And in that chemistry class, the chemist teacher would give them substances in their test tubes, and they would have to figure out what was in the test tube. Well, you guys understand that I was never smart enough to be allowed to go to the chemist lab, so I never got on any of that. But my wife tells me that she even scolded me before this service, that you should have talked to me. I could have told you, gave you so much more stuff. It would have been so much better sermon. And I'm kidding. The point is that she has lived this. She's had test tubes of many chemicals that she has to do different tests to try to figure out what's in. And this is what she told me. Folks, we're the test tube. And life is the test. And faith is the substance in our test tube that gets us through life. Isn't that good stuff? If we're charismatic, we just all start running around. But I'm telling you, that's good stuff. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, J. Vernon McGee, on one of his little things, he said somebody had slipped something else in the test tube and nobody knew. He said that the janitor told him 5 years after he graduated, J. Vernon, I'm still sweeping up glass particles. He said he just about destroyed the lab. Why? Because a wrong substance was in the test tube. Church, if you want to survive this life, you better have faith in your test tube. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is that which rests upon facts in chemistry. It would be the chemical which settles at the bottom of the test tube after you have made an experiment. I want you to hear a little bit more of what J. Vernon says. Dr. A.T. Robertson translates substance as title deed. Just so you know, in the preacher world, A.T. Robertson is respected as the greatest Greek scholar whatever lived. He says that he translates substance as title deed. What is the title deed? What is the substance? It is the Word of God. If your faith does not rest upon the Word of God, it is not biblical faith at all. It has to rest upon what God says. Actually, it means to believe God. Now, the next part of the definition, the evidence of things not seen. We have seen that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is scientific. Now we have the evidence of things not seen. This is the legal aspect, the Greek word elegekos. It is a legal term meaning evidence that is accepted for a conviction. In other words, this evidence is so powerful that it is good enough to bring a conviction. You ready? Our faith is all the evidence that we need to prove to an unbelieving world that God is who He says He is. Faith is the practice of believing that God has, is, and will do what He has said He will do. It is what is in the test tube of life. It is real, it is right, and it is reliable for what is hoped for or needed. You have a real, right, reliable faith that what you need will be provided. It's the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is the legally binding evidence that Christ can be trusted. The just shall live by faith. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As the musicians come, I want to try to help us to exercise faith this week. First of all, I want to share with you a documentary that I saw about 6 or so years ago. There was and we've got young people here, so I'm going to, adults, just listen to me, okay? And older teens, you will catch this. Younger folks, talk to your parents. This documentary was about a town in Atlanta, Georgia, that the STD rate had shot through the roof. So bad that they sent a team to study and figure out what was going on. And they discovered that there were a group of young men in a particular high school in that area that had made a challenge amongst themselves to see how many partners they could have in a year's time. STDs shot through the roof. What they did was they followed the life of the ringleader for a couple of years after that situation. Of course, because of the STD, he had some trials in his life. He had some difficulties and also some legal trouble, as you can only imagine. And he found God. He turned to God. He got into, and I don't know if you know much about Atlanta, Georgia, but it's a seedbed for gospel preaching churches. And so he got into one of these youth groups, and they'd show him raising his hands and worshiping. I mean, he was into it. And folks, you can't always tell. People can act into it, and they might not be. But it sure, by all visible appearances, looked like this guy had really connected. But after 6 months or so of Christian living and gospel living, life got real again. And he wasn't feeling it anymore. And instead of doing the old things that he did at the beginning, instead of soaking in God's word, instead of staying true to God's word and its, well, if you will, the righteousness of God, instead of sticking to that, this is what he did. God, if you're real, show me a sign. Impress me, God. And folks, I want to tell you, 99 times out of 100, God will refuse that almost every time. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about God bending to your will. It's about you and I saying, we're the servant. Whatever you say, God, I will do. Watch this. And God would have met him where he was if he would have come in another way instead of pride. Folks, you're not going to do business with God as long as you're calling the shots. It's not going to happen. But when you humble yourself and say, God, I am at your mercy. I need your help. He shows up every time. Amen, church? And watching that documentary, I'm sitting there, Lord, he missed it. He went the wrong direction. Help me. How can I? So what was the sign, God? How can I help people? And you know what God said? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If he ever had a true faith experience, that was his sign. Church, if you have ever connected with Jesus, that's your sign. He's real. He's real, and he wants to move in your life. So here's my challenge. If you really want to grow in your faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, you need to get in God's word. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have experienced a hot tub? 2 or 3 times in my life I have. They good. It's a good experience. I don't do like I do in the in-laws' pool. Because if it's cold, I'm out. I get in there. Whoa, man. Yeah, turn it up. It's hot. Oh, yeah. That's what God's word needs to be for you. You need to get in, sit down, and soak. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, so, so important. If you've never, ever experienced faith in Jesus Christ, we're inviting you to do that. This is an invitation. Will you stand? We're asking you to come. Maybe you know Christ. You need to be baptized. Maybe you need to become a member of this church. Maybe you just need to turn this into an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you've got something going on that you need to exercise faith in. I'm asking you to apply this definition today. Have faith in God. Well, let's sing. Will you come? Will you come? Jesus.